singing, it isn't just praying, but it is saying words of Scripture together. So we've already heard a story from the Gospel of Luke, but we are going to say together now the words of Psalm 100, which should appear on the screen. I'm very sorry to you guys in the gallery for mucking up the order, so sorry about that. But the words of Psalm 100 are on the screen, and they are declaring words of praise and shouts of joy for God. So we're going to say this all together. There's only five verses, so hopefully we should all be able to manage it. So, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful picture? The idea of people coming into God's courts to give him praise, to shout joy, to say how wonderful he is. So how many people do you think you can think of that would freely do that this morning, that would come before God and would shout praises and joy and say how wonderful he is? How many people do you think? More than 10? More than 10? More than 20? More than 100? More than 1,000? More than 10,000? World? No, probably not. So this morning we have an interesting opposition. So we have a psalm which talks about people coming into God's presence and praising him and shouting for joy because of who he is and what he's done. But at the same time we have this parable which speaks about the fact that, like the coin in the story, not everyone is like one of those people. Not everyone knows who God is to start with, but not everyone will come before him and will be praiseworthy and will shout with joy because of the things that he has done. But thankfully, we do know the wonderful things he has done. So this morning, there are just two reflections on the parable that I would like to share with you. But if you would like to open it up, you can find it roughly on page 1049. In your Bibles, and it's, as Claire said, Luke chapter 15, and it's only three verses, verses 8 to 10. So I said that this parable is kind of sandwiched between two other parables, which we read about much more frequently. And those parables are the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost son, or possibly the lost sons, depending on how you read it and understand it. And it is definitely the shortest of those three parables. But in it we have some interesting people. So we could say that God is possibly like the woman that lost her coins, but at the same time, I'm not sure we could completely say that because I don't think God loses things. But definitely the coins can be like us. And I think that sometimes even we, the ones who have been found, can end up being like the lost coin. Either because we choose to be, or because something can happen and we stumble off and find ourselves in a dark corner. So the first thing is the amazing thing that even though sometimes we do get lost, that we find ourselves in dark corners, that God will turn the house upside down, he'll turn the world upside down, he'll turn our lives upside down to make sure that we are found again by him and that we have the light of Jesus that we need in order to stay found. So knowing that that is hopefully true of all of us, that we have all been found by God, that Jesus has shone his light into our hearts, into the dark places of our lives. For just a second, I'd like you to have a think of someone you know for whom that isn't true. actually they don't know the light of Jesus in their lives. They don't feel like they've been found by God, who's still possibly living in a dark corner of a room somewhere. And while we pause, I'm just going to encourage you to just pray for that person. Pray that the light of Jesus would come into their lives. Without risk of sounding like a scratch record, while we were away at Soul Survivor, one of the fantastic highlights was to see over the course of the week the number of young people that came forwards to Christ and gave their lives to Him for the first time. And I'm immensely grateful to Mike Pilavachi for tweeting out how many people actually became Christians, because I would not remember otherwise. But over the whole of the summer, Soul Survivor run lots of different events. It's not just the week that we go to. There's several thousand people there right now. But before us, they had two other different weeks. They had one up in Scotland, they had one in Stafford. So up to the point of us arriving there on the Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, thus far over the summer, they'd had 483 people give their lives to Jesus, which I think is incredible. And by the time that we'd left on the Thursday morning, that total had gone up to 940 people, which means over the week that we were just there, just in 1 week, 457 young people gave their lives to Christ for the first time, which absolutely, it's a fantastically staggering thing. It's quite amazing. But them giving their lives to Christ wasn't just a spontaneous thing. They didn't suddenly stand up in the middle of the main meeting, go to the front and say, yep, I want to give my life to Jesus now. Actually, in order for them to be able to do that, they needed other people to both invite them to do it, but also other people to have been working in their lives, to be showing Jesus to them, maybe without them realizing it, but definitely so that they could get closer to meeting Him. And so the other thing that I think this parable says to us is that not only does God seek us out when we're lost and in a dark corner, but actually that we need to do that as well. So for those people that we've just thought about in our heads, yes, we definitely need to pray for them that Jesus would come and illuminate their life. But at the same time, we need to be going and taking the light to them. And I'm sure there are several people that we can think of in our lives that we could be doing that for. It could be in a small way. It could be in quite a large, dramatic way. You never know how God will do it. But the second, slightly more challenging thing that I'd like you to think and pray about is how you can ask them if they would like to become a friend of God, how they could follow Jesus. Now, for those at Soul Survivor standing up on a stage in front of thousands of young people, having had an evening filled with worship, filled with the scriptures, and filled with somebody talking about it, it's really easy to then say, if you'd like to give your life, please come and give your life. For us, it might be slightly more difficult. We haven't got a massive environment, and we haven't got people expounding the word of God for us so that we can then say to our friends, so want to follow Jesus now? Actually, it's a little more difficult, but I think there are people that God wants us to give that invitation. Hands up if you've heard of a guy called D.L. Moody. Heard of D.L. Moody? Some people have heard of D.L. Moody, some haven't. So if you were at Soul Survivor, you should have heard of D.L. Moody because he was mentioned, and I'm stealing this illustration. But D.L. Moody lived about 150 years ago, and when he came to Christ, he made a list of 100 that he knew didn't know Jesus yet. And every day he prayed for this list of people, to the point where when he died, 96 people on that list had become Christians, and the four that hadn't gave their life to Christ at his funeral. So that I find to be quite a challenge. I'm sure he didn't just pray for them, I'm sure he talked to them as well. You may not want to write up a list of 100 people, that might be too much for you, but I'm sure you could write up a list of about 5 people that you could try and invite to Christ. I haven't got pens and paper for you now, but I would encourage you after this service to write down a list of 5 people that you would like to pray for. And you could start by for a year. I think praying for people for a year is quite a hard task sometimes. But I would encourage you to do that and see what happens both to you and also to them for their life. So we are now going to pray. And as we pray, I would encourage you to think of who those people are. So if you'd like to keep your eyes open to help you concentrate, please do. But Father, we do thank you so much that you come searching for us. That when we find ourselves in the dark corners of life, that Jesus, you bring your light into our situations and into our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to do that for others. That you would show us who these people are that we should be praying for, that you want us to introduce to Jesus. Amen. You've all been sat very wonderfully. If we were in class, I'd be giving you all gold stickers. Well done. But we're going to stand up and do a bit of moving around now. We're not going to be singing, but we are going to be sharing the peace with one another. So I'd just like to invite Derek up to lead us. I think it's only...